I love that question. I didn't know what I was getting into when I started this. And 5 years into the research now, there is sort of an endless stream of additional questions.
This is Sibios, your source for public affairs research. A podcast from the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota.
In this episode, we will be talking with Dr. Kathy Quick of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs. Dr. Quick's research intersects the public management, urban planning, and public policy fields. She produces new frameworks to guide professional practice in planning, management, or policymaking. We'll be talking with Dr. Quick about her recent research on roadway safety on American Indian reservations. But before we talk about the details of your research, Kathy, let's learn more about you. Can you talk a little bit about your background and how you got into this area of research?
Sure. Actually, working on roadway safety and reservations is a little bit different from things that I've done in the past, and yet part of a consistent trajectory, I guess. I have a background in public affairs as a practitioner. I used to work for a couple of local governments in California, and before I became a faculty member, I also worked in Indonesia with some nonprofit organizations. And through all of that professional practice, I became very interested in how you bring diverse groups of people together to work on really thorny, complex, resource-constrained, sometimes contentious or divisive projects or problems. And so working on roadway safety was an opportunity for me to gather perspectives from stakeholders on the ground about what's happening in American Indian reservations. And it was also a community that I wanted to learn more about. And it's part of my sense as a extension university professor of providing service on real public problems to the community that I became interested in learning more about this.
Well, thanks. Let's talk a little bit more about this research. Can you say a little bit about how this project began and what questions you were trying to answer?
So this is part of the Roadway Safety Institute at the University of Minnesota, which has a whole suite of projects involving dozens of researchers at several universities looking at different aspects of roadway safety. And I was invited to participate in this because one of the most vulnerable populations for motor vehicle crashes in the United States for fatalities or for severe injuries from those crashes are American Indians, and yet there has been very little research done about this, and so I was invited to do some work on it.
So what's at stake for this issue? Why is it important?
I think accidents and injuries and fatalities are inherently important to the people whom they affect and the communities they affect. And in addition, for American Indians aged 1 to 44, this is the leading cause of unintentional injury in the United States. And their rates of injury have been increasing at a time when, for the United States as a whole, it's been decreasing. So it is disproportionately a huge issue for this community.
So when you started working on this, can you talk a little bit about how you set this study up? How did you go about studying this issue?
Well, to be very frank about it, the first place was to acknowledge that I was out of my depth in terms of knowledge of the content area and in terms of my connection with this community. And American Indians have been studied and studied and studied, and I had real hesitation and reluctance about persisting in that pattern. And so we began to develop some relationships with something called the Advocacy Council on Tribal Transportation, which is a group here in Minnesota which represents all of the 11 federally recognized tribes in the state, as well as the Minnesota Department of Transportation and some other key stakeholders. And we just began having a conversation with them about whether this was an important research question, whether our doing research with them would be welcome or not. And my collaborator, Guillermo Narvaez, and I began asking whether there were particular reservation communities that would like to work with us on the research. And if so, what were the questions that they would most like to have answered by researchers that they wouldn't otherwise be able to get? And so that's how we began doing the work.
Can you explain to the listeners how you went about working with tribal governments, particularly in lieu of the fact that you were very sensitive to the notion that they had been researched so often? So how did you start that process?
Well, we're talking today at the end of 5 years of relationship building. I shouldn't say the end, but we are now 5 years into building relationships with the tribal communities. And so it started slow. And it started with a lot of turning up and listening in the advocacy council meetings, asking lots of questions about what they did already know, what they wanted to learn that they didn't have another way to learn. And then just with a lot of turning up and being present and making an invitation to participate in research together, making it very clear that we wouldn't be sharing data without their permission. And the very last thing that we did was to spend about 4 months before the report was finalized to give every tribe a chance to study, look at their own case study and review it before we shared it. We spent a lot of time on the reservation communities. So between my collaborator and myself, we spent 80 days in reservations in northern Minnesota and have talked with hundreds of people.
So there are many different methodologies to use in conducting research, and you chose to use qualitative methods. Can you talk a little bit about why you did that?
You would or would not be surprised by how often I've been asked that question by roadway safety engineers who usually look at crash data and that kind of statistical information. And there absolutely is a place for that. That's sort of a golden standard of how things are typically done these days. But it's my feeling that as a qualitative researcher, there's a great deal to be learned also from a different style of research. So particularly with something like roadway safety, which is not only related to engineering and lighting and other kinds of engineering hazards, a large part of roadway safety has to do with behavior. And if you want to understand behavior and why people behave as they do and you want to change how they behave, then it's really important to understand their attitudes towards risk, their experiences, their motivations, their beliefs. And that's qualitative data. And so what we did was to spend a lot of time in reservation communities, specifically talking to the people who have the best knowledge of what's going on the ground. So tribal government leadership, roadway safety engineers, public safety, people who are doing enforcement, general residents of those reservations, people who do injury prevention, expert drivers. I mean, I think one of the more innovative things that we did was to talk to propane delivery truck drivers because they know every mile of the reservation community. And that gives you a different perspective on what it is that people are experiencing in terms of risk, how they're checking themselves to avoid risk, and then what is a way forward if you want to improve their safety.
So, Kathy, what did you learn from this research?
I think the most important thing that we learned was that pedestrian safety, you could not overstate how important that is in reservations. So one of the questions that we asked was, what are your major concerns about roadway safety in the reservation? And what distinguishes reservations from other rural environments? Because there are crashes and roadway safety issues in all rural environments. And so is there anything important in particular about reservations? It's important to ask that question without reaching the assumption that there is. And what we heard over and over again was some version of this. When I get to the reservation, I know I need to start looking out for pedestrians. There's no difference really in the roads or in the deer or in the lighting or in the maintenance for ice and other kinds of things, except for pedestrians. So we kept hearing that over and over again. And that was across the four reservations where we worked. At health fairs and community fairs, or powwows where we would just have a table and ask anybody who wanted to come talk to us. That was the first thing that came out of their mind over and over again, that they saw pedestrians on the roadways, that they wouldn't allow their children to walk to school, that they had stories of accidents that they or loved ones had been in. So that really stood out. I would say that another thing that we learned is that alcohol impairment is not necessarily the answer to this question. And so before we went out and spent time in reservation communities with tribal government leaders, it distresses me how very, very often I heard from people who do not spend time in those communities, it must be because of an alcohol problem, which is a prejudice that's associated with American Indian people in the United States. And that may or may not be part of what's going on, but I would say that when we did this work in the reservation communities, when we did a national survey of all reservation communities across the United States, alcohol did not turn up as anywhere near the top concern that people might otherwise imagine it to be.
So let's unpack this a little bit more. In the research that you did, can you talk a little bit about what you think might be some of the policy implications?
There are five things that seem most important that we learned in terms of policy implications. The first one is that, as I said, pedestrian safety is critical it's under-recognized, it's sort of undeniably important, and people need to take that more seriously in their safety audits and their safety planning and their resource allocations for improvement. A second one is that roadway engineering and repair is a really high priority for tribal governments. So even though other jurisdictions take a great deal of pride, as they should, in having standardized rules for how they keep their roads and they don't distinguish between reservation and other communities, they're equitable and fair across the board. Tribal governments themselves don't have enough money to deal with gravel and lighting and snow clearance and things like that. So those are really clear issues. Another is that reckless driving is a big concern. So when we did a national survey, in addition to the field work on reservations that I described, that turned up as a very high priority. But as I said, it's not just a matter of alcohol impairment. It also has to do with speeding and distraction and texting and all these other things that are going on. And so that means all kinds of things in terms of injury prevention and education. A fourth is that there is some previous statistical research to indicate that American Indians' use of seatbelts and car seats is low, either the use altogether or the proper use of car seats. And our research certainly suggested that continuing injury prevention work on that area is important. And then the last thing that's especially interesting to me as a public affairs scholar is I was not really prepared for how important the relationships are between tribes and county and state governments and how much interdependence there is to make roadway safety work and how problematic that often is. And so I don't want to paint a singular picture of how that is. In some cases, the stories are that there are great relationships. In some places, the story is that there are these terribly contentious relationships. But in any case, it's really consequential for the safety of people on reservations.
So when we talk about next steps, where do you think this research is going to go next? What do you see needs to happen or needs to be looked at in addition to what you've already seen?
I love that question. I didn't know what I was getting into when I started this. And 5 years into the research now, there is sort of an endless stream of additional questions. The most immediate one is that I am continuing to work with my collaborator on this, with Guillermo Narvaez, on studying emergency medical service response in reservations, because we've learned through collaboration with the Federal Highway Administration and their work with tribes that that is a really high priority area of some questions and concerns that EMS response is not good in reservations, but not a lot of data about why that might be happening. So we're now doing a research study to say, is that because trauma centers are too remote? Is that because cell phone coverage is poor and so people can't call when there's an emergency? Is it about the quality of roads? We really don't know. And so that's a study that we're undertaking right now. In addition, because we've built these relationships with some tribes, we are continuing to respond to questions that they ask. And so there have been some smaller studies of safe routes to school in Red Lake. What would that look like? How should those roads be improved? But I think the important thing that I've taken away from this research is that to have it be led by the tribal communities is very important. And so I think there's a big agenda for continuing research, whether I'm a part of it or not. It's not clear to me. I would be at their service, but it is clear that the tribes have research questions that need to be addressed.
Clearly, this was a collaborative project, and you've named several partners whom you worked with. Is there anybody else, any other organizations that you'd like to acknowledge?
I'm really glad you asked, because there are quite a few, and I'm profoundly grateful to all of them. So my collaborator and I benefited a great deal from working with the 4 tribal governments, who were really generous in their openness and their sort of leap of faith in working with us. And I think that ended up being a mutually very satisfying relationship. But we worked with the Red Lake Nation, with Fond du Lac, with Leech Lake, and with Mille Lacs reservations. And that began with our work with the Advocacy Council on Tribal Transportation in Minnesota. In addition, we have been working with the Native American Transportation Issues Committee of the Transportation Research Board, who've allowed us to come and share our research and have given us some feedback. And there's also something called the Steering Committee for Safety Management of Lifesavers, which is also oriented to tribal transportation issues nationally, that has helped us. And without the help of the Roadway Safety Institute and funding from them, the research would never have been possible.
So how can people find out more about this research?
The studies are posted on the Center for Transportation Studies website at the University of Minnesota. We are going to be giving some presentations at the Transportation Research Board, and there is a webinar that we did through the National Academy of Sciences. All of those things are available online or through my website.
Thank you for listening to another podcast from Civios, an initiative of the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. To learn more about this segment, please visit civios.umn.edu.